Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
First Psalm, and we'll read the first three verses, and we might get there today. We'll definitely get there next week. And there's three verses that I love. And what I want to just point out is this is, and I love how it reads, and the Bible's not arranged in chronological order, but I love how we jump right out of the book of Job, and we jump right into Psalms. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, in the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Somebody say day and night. Somebody say when it's good, when it's bad. Tell him pre-corona, during corona, after corona. Day and night, meditates no matter what. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he or she does shall prosper. Somebody say, I'm planted. You may be seated. 6 months ago, Mandy and I moved into our country house. It's something that we have been striving for the first decade and a half of our marriage, and we finally got to the country. Thank you very much for someone. They either are glad that I left the city or they're happy for me that I got to the country. But what I'm finding out is Mandy and I have been married for 17 years. She is a jewel. She is a Proverbs 31 woman in every sense of the word. She has been a blessing every day of my life. I want to give you that picture before because I don't want you to think that she's just now awesome. She's always been awesome, okay? Just want to put that out there so you don't read between the lines and say things that I didn't say. But ever since we moved out to the country, this woman has gone up like 50 levels. She's out there helping me feed the horses. Listen, she ain't never touched a horse until like 16 months ago. She's out there feeding the horses. If I don't have time or I got to leave or I'm out of town, she's out there training colts and doing all of this stuff. Then I came home the other day and she had targets out there and she's like Katniss Everdeen with the bow and arrow and she's got throwing stars and throwing axes and all of the. And I'm like, who did I marry? Where has this woman been all along? She's amazing. I mean, you put a bow in her hand and I'm talking about she's hitting that target every single time. However, the last couple weeks, she has ventured into a new hobby. And my porches and my windowsills are now filled with plants. Actually, let me rewind. They are filled with pots that she hopes grows into plants. And there has been a lot of pots that are empty, that are still empty, that she has been watering now for weeks. And I said, Mandy, when is that thing? Well, it was supposed to sprout 5 days ago. Well, baby, that's been like 15 days ago. Well, I don't know if I'm putting too much water or not enough water. Maybe I need. And so all of these reasons. And so I might have finally found something that Mandy cannot do. Only time will tell. And so she has gotten into this planting phase where she's planting and she's planting and she's planting. I'm the wrong person to plant things for because I am impatient. And this whole corona and quarantine thing, I don't like waiting in line to get into Home Depot. You know how I feel about Whataburger's third lane and third window. So now everything has slowed way down. But as I and Mandy, as I started this series and Mandy has started producing and growing things, and a lot of what I've said has been in jest, and she has been semi-productive and semi-successful, and we'll send some pictures out, hopefully, of some vegetables that we produce here in the next few weeks. But one thing that God has been speaking is he said, Brandon, he said, quit being so impatient with the planting process. Because there's some, oh, I thought I'd get a better amen right there than that. And come on, it's been 7 weeks, y'all. I need y'all to talk back to me now. There's a lot of us that are impatient with the planting process, and we want fruit automatically. but we don't want to do what it takes to get the fruit. And the first thing we have to understand to be able to produce fruit is we've got to find the right soil. And when we find the right soil, we've got to dig our feet in and say, all right, I'm not moving here, because every time, come on, I uproot myself, I'm robbing myself of the production that God has called me to produce, or the favor and blessing that God has called me to have. Can I talk to somebody and tell you, you're getting ready to uproot, you're getting ready to do something different? Can I tell you, you need to dig in a little harder today and say, no, devil, through the last 7 weeks, if I made it this far, come on, I can make it all the way. After everything you've done to try to mess up my family and I'm still breathing, oh, I'm going all the way. After everything I've been through, and it happened because I'm planted. Turn to your neighbor and yell at him, I'm planted. I'm planted. The first session we talked in John chapter 10, verse 28, and I gave unto them, Jesus said, eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of the hand of God. I love the local church. We are the bride of Christ, the church universally, the bride of Christ. But the local church is so important to our maturation as believers, to our growth and our development. I look at people here sitting in these seats that have been sitting here for many years now, maybe a few months, and the perspective as a pastor that I have is I see so much growth in most of the people that I have relationship with here. I've seen that your planting has produced in your marriage and in your children and in your money and in your ministry. And I've seen growth happen. And I love the local church. And so I say that because I don't want to denigrate the local church, because it's what I'm giving my life to. But can I tell you that the first place you need to plant yourself in is in the hand of God? Because when you are founded in the hand of Jesus Christ, come on, there is nothing that comes against you that shall prevail. When you know that you are in the hand of Jesus, it doesn't matter if it's this pandemic or 10 years from now. You know that I'm in the hand of the man that created me. And there's no weapon that is formed against me that will prosper. If God is for me, then no one can be against me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In him I live, I move, I have my being. All of that happens, church, in the hand of God. So my encouragement to you is to plant yourself in the hand of God. But the thing is this is where a lot of people, we plant ourselves for a season. When you plant yourself in the hand of God, the devil cannot take you out. This is what Jesus said. He said, no man can pluck you out. The devil can't take you out, but he can make you jump. He can make you leave. Come on now, church. We've got to get unmovable in our faith. We should not have a list of 3 or 4 things that, God, don't let those 3 things happen in my life, because if that were to happen, I don't know if I can make it through. Your testimony and your declaration as a believer should be, come hell or high water, I am planted, and there's nothing in this world that can talk me out of God's promises and that can get me to move. I am in this from here all the way to heaven. When I plant myself in God's hand, I surrender myself to God's will. When I surrender myself to God's will, I produce fruit in every season of my life. First session, we talked about digging in. Paul would write, and he said, my feet are shod with the preparation of peace. There were spikes on the bottom of the Roman centurion and soldiers' footwear. And so when Paul is writing, describing the armor of God, he is not talking about the army of Israel. He's talking about the Roman army. And so they would have spikes, and so when they would get ready on that front line, they would dig in such a way that it doesn't matter what is coming at me or against me. I'm strong enough, and I've dug in long enough that it doesn't matter. It will not push me over. And see, there's a lot of pushing going on. The enemy has been buffeting believers and buffeting our nation. And I'm here to tell you, it's not just enough to stand firm. You got to push back sometimes. You got to let the enemy know, I'm not like other believers. I'm not a wishy-washy Christian. I'm not a Krispy Kreme Christian. I've got a foundation in the Word of God. I am filled with the Spirit of God. And when you come at me, I come back with all of heaven backing me. I come at you with the sword of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Get planted and stay planted. We talked about no root means no fruit. If you're not willing to have depth in your life, you'll never produce anything of depth in your life. That's why a lot of our blessings and the favor, it seems like it's fleeting. I'm talking to somebody that the stimulus check has already been spent, not on bills, but on Yeezys. Come on now. You don't have to get quiet. We're talking about the other people. It's been spent on video games. It's been spent on Coach purses and Chanel and all of these things. And what we called the blessing has now been fleeting. No, the real blessings of God are the ones that come to stay. And when I'm planted, I produce fruit in every season, which means I can produce something today that's going to bless me, and tomorrow I might not need it, and the blessing that I produce tomorrow, I can give away or I can sow into someone else. No root, no fruit. It is God's will for you to produce in every season of your life. Last week we talked about Jesus cursing the fig tree in Matthew 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as Jesus returned to the city, he hungered. Jesus is hungry for something today. What is Jesus hungry for? God is hungry for a relationship with believers. It's the reason we were created. It was when Adrian and Tyler were leading worship today, and this great team was leading worship, and I saw people that had not been in a corporate worship service now in 6 or 7 weeks, and I saw tears streaming down their face into their mask. What a day we live in. I thought, man, this is the oxygen for people, but it's really the oxygen for God. Because when Lucifer fell, God said, I need me a worshiper. And so he created Adam and Eve. And here we are 6,000 years later, and we're worshiping in his house or in your house. And I want to tell you right now that when you begin to worship, that is what God desires. God eats it up. He hungers for that. And so God, Jesus was hungry, and he saw a fig tree in the way, came to it and found nothing thereon. Somebody say, uh-oh. But leaves only. He was hungry, and leaves were not going to do trick. See, this world is hungry, and us acting like Christians is not good enough. This world right now is more fertile to the love of God, the word of God, the faith of the believer than it has ever been before. And Pat, and myself and Sister Tammy, we've been trading emails the last few days, and we were talking about how blessed we are coming out of this thing, and how blessed, and we're making declarations over Living Way and over the Living Way family. And then we started saying, man, we're about to see who used these last 6 or 7 weeks to get prayed up, worshiped up, faith up, and we're going to see the others who wasted this time. Can I encourage you? I am more Holy Ghost filled today than I have ever been before. I have more vision today than I have ever been before. I'm so thankful that I'm planted after 38 years. You say, well, you're the pastor's son. Yep, but I tried to uproot myself, and I moved to Ohio for a few weeks when I was 18 years old. I got back to Texas and Living Way as quick as I could. Why? Because I knew this is the place. This is where I'm going to put roots down. And when I put roots down here, I can affect and change the world. They're hungry for it. They don't have time for phony and fake. They want the real thing. They don't want you to look like a Christian. They want you to be a Christian. They don't want you to just talk about your faith. They want to see your faith do something. I'm talking to somebody today. Now is the time for the church. Now is the time for believers to stand tall, to be proud, to talk loud. Now is the time for you to start your podcast. Now is the time for you to start preaching Jesus on social media. Now is the time for you to start a Bible study at your work. Now is the time. We need fruit, not just leaves. Somebody say amen. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth. And he says one word that it wounds me. He says, let no fruit grow therefore forever. The curse that God placed on the unfruitful fig tree was not a timeout, was not for a season, it was forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And last session we started talking about, and I don't want to re-preach this one, but we started talking about why he cursed the fig tree. There's three reasons why I believe Jesus cursed the fig tree. The number one reason was the fig tree was out of order. Because fig trees are one of the few fruit trees that produce fruit before it produces leaves. So when it produces leaves, Jesus makes the assumption, because it looks the part, that when I get there, I'm hungry for something, that everything that I hunger for is going to be there behind the leaves. Jesus pulls the leaves back and there's nothing there. It's like a lot of believers I know. They know three verses really good. And most of those verses are about the favor of God, the blessing of God, and everything's rainbow and butterflies. Then you got the other end of the spectrum that's all about judgment and God's wiping people out and God's using, or God caused this pandemic, which either side of the spectrum is false. What we really need is people that are not out of order. Paul said this, that everything we do must be done in decency and in order. So that's why, well, Pastor Brandon, you've been touting for 40 years that you guys have never dismissed a service. Guess what, baby? After 7 weeks, we still haven't dismissed a service. We reached more people on Facebook Live than we have reached. It is unbelievable. Tens of thousands of people. Pastor Becky's video, a couple of her videos have been viewed 12, 14,000 times. It's absolutely amazing that the devil thought he was going to quiet us. The devil thought he was going to uproot us. But 7 weeks ago, we just put our foot down and said, all right, devil, you pick the fight. I'm going to end the fight. You started this war, we're going to end the war. We're going to reach more people for Jesus. We're going to reach more people with love. We're going to serve our community. We're going to do what needs to be done. And so when we adhere to guidelines that the governor says, what are you doing? We're living in decency and in order. I think you ought to have kept the church and let them arrest you and take you to prison. Yeah, you think that for me. But I believe that I'm better here than I would be there. And so when you're planted in the right place, come on, church, you do things in decency and in order. And you don't look the part only. You are the part. That's why you don't need to clean up to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus first, and then he'll clean you up. That's why, well, when I get my marriage right, well, when I get my family right, well, when I get my money right, none of that's ever going to get right without Jesus. And if you can get it right for a moment, it's going to disappear in the next moment. I want to come to Jesus because Jesus will help me produce fruit, and then my life will follow my fruit. The fruit will not follow my life. Somebody say amen. Let's go to number two. Second reason why Jesus curses the fig tree. Jesus, we hear this phrase a lot, that God don't like ugly. He don't like it, but he loves it. He loves everybody, you know. But I'm going to tell you something that God doesn't like, and that Jesus proved that he doesn't like. Jesus does not like fake. Come on, Jesus doesn't like fake. And the thing about fake is, you can be a really good actress. You can be a really good actor. You can fool me. You can even fool your spouse. And I've been watching way too much Channel 192 on Dish Network. That's the ID channel, Investigation. It has all those crazy stories. I mean, I'm sleeping with one eye open now. Mandy's weaponized our house with all this stuff, and I'm making sure she goes to bed first. But I've been watching all of this crazy stuff, and I can't believe that there are people that literally have two families and two separate towns, two marriages, multiple bank accounts. Listen, y'all, it's hard enough keeping the one I got going. You know what I'm saying? Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. Come on now. That's a glutton for punishment. I know he's the wisest man to ever live, but come on, bro. I got enough keeping the one I'm going. I'm working on one marriage. Come on. I'm raising my kids. I'm keeping my mind right. I'm making sure that this tree is fruitful, because if this tree is fruitful, then every tree in my orchard is going to be fruitful. And so Jesus does not like fake. And he said, the fact that you would put off the vibe like you are a fruitful tree, because there's a lot of people, ooh, this is going to preach good. There's a lot of people that walk by your life as the fig tree, and they think you have it together. But the problem with them thinking you have it together is they look at your life and they see the pretty big leaves, and they see that you say the right thing, you talk the right way, you walk the right way. And then when they need you the most, and they're no longer walking by, but now they're walking to, they're looking for fruit, and the fruit is not there. And then they say, well, all believers are like that. Come on, don't paint all believers with the broad brush of fakeness and hypocrites. We're all not hypocrites. We're all not fake. There are some of us that really live this thing. There are some of us that literally talk to God, just us and Him, every day of our life. You know, there's literal people in here that worship harder in their car than they did 45 minutes ago. You know, there's people who literally talk to God like they're talking to their BFF. You know, there's literal people who give 10% of their income called tithes, some beyond that. Why? Because we are not fake. We are not hypocrites. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't fall. But the fake fall and lay there. The just and the righteous might fall 7 times, but we get up 8. He doesn't like fake. Isaiah 29:13 says this. The Lord says, these people come to me, come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules. This is the NIV that they have been taught. Can I be honest with you? When Jaden was leading worship up here, I love her voice. She's like a Holy Ghost-filled Halsey. It's amazing. I'm a fan of Halsey. So now I get the Holy Ghost-filled version in my house. I hear her singing all the time. But as a dad, when I hear her singing, there's been literal times where I've been worshiping. And then I'm like, oh, that's my baby girl. Man, she looks just like her mama. Man, she sings just like her grandma. I figure out, hold on, I'm not worshiping. I still got my hands up, but now I'm thinking about my family and not my God. Come on now. That's a simple illustration. Because some of you were worshiping a few minutes ago in this room saying, I wonder if anybody in here has corona. I wonder if they really disinfected this building like they said they did. Come on now, you got your hands up, but your heart is far from God. There's people watching today saying, you wouldn't catch me dead. You wouldn't catch me dead in that building today. I can't believe that they opened the church, and I'm glad I'm in my living room. All while we were worshiping, you were having those thoughts. Got the right posture, wrong attitude. Right posture, wrong attitude. Right posture, wrong attitude. I don't hate anybody for coming to church. I don't hate anybody for staying home from church. You got to make that decision and use wisdom. I talked to one of my best friends here in the state of Texas that pastors one of the biggest churches in the state of Texas. He said, you having church today? I said, yep. He says, good for you. I said, you having church today? He said, nope. I said, good for you. That's how we live, because I don't want to ever be hating on somebody and have an attitude that is not God-like when I expect to produce fruit every day of my life. I cannot pick the fruit or make my fruit rotten because I don't have the right attitude towards God. See, Jesus don't like fake. Jesus don't like fake. Number 3, this is where we'll end today. Jesus cursed the fig tree. This is a big one. Because of a lack of faith. Because here's a tree that has enough nutrients to produce those big elephant ear leaves found on fig trees. It's as green and as vibrant. And I know that it's healthy looking, because Jesus went out of his way to find a fig to eat because he was hungry. And Jesus pulls back the leaves and he says, there is no faith here, because if there was faith here, they wouldn't be faking it. They would be producing fruit. Now listen, I know there's a lot of haters on fake it till you make it. I believe you should fake it till you make it. I believe some of it's not faking it. It is faithing it. Sometimes I put a smile on my face to hold back the tears. Sometimes I praise God like nobody's watching, because I'm fighting this fight and I need to get mine today before I leave this building. So sometimes when you ask if everything's okay, and I tell you, man, my testimony's in the making. God is good. God hasn't forgotten me. It's not so you can hear it. Sometimes I'm saying that to fire myself up to get to where I'm called to be. But there is a whole lot of people that don't have faith. And because they don't have faith, they're not producing. And then this is what they say: it's just not my season. See, when you say that it's not my season to produce, you make an indictment against God that God is not able. Can I tell you, the greatest things in my life have come out of the most dark seasons, the most valley seasons of my life. Why? Because I'm planted. I'm planted so deep. Come on, you go down to the river here, the Guadalupe River, the Comal River. You're going to see these 75 and 80-foot trees on the banks of those rivers. We could have a 100-year drought in Texas, and those trees are not going to die. Why? Because they've got roots. They put down something of significance, and it doesn't matter what's going on above the surface because they are tapped into something that is going to stand the test of time. A lack of faith, because Jesus knew it doesn't matter the season. We are supposed to produce fruit in every season of our lives, even when everybody else is out of season. There's a fig tree in the Middle East that produces figs 10 out of 12 months. 10 out of 12 months it produces. Now seasons, four seasons, each of them are 3 months. Which means every season, doesn't matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall, every season you can go to those trees and find fruit. Can I help somebody sitting here today, somebody watching at home today, that it doesn't matter what season you are in, never use your season as an excuse not to be planted and productive. For the last 7 weeks, people have sat on their thumbs. Woe is me. It's the government's fault. It's China's fault. This is political. This is real. This is terrible. It's not as bad as everyone calls it. I wish they'd live quarantine. I wish I could stay in quarantine for all of these things. Can I tell you, quit making excuses. The last 7 months, billionaires have been born. I believe that. The last 7 weeks, people have gotten ideas that are going to take them to the next level. I believe somebody's prayer life leveled up in the last 7 weeks. I believe somebody's marriage that was about to be torn apart in the last 7 weeks, you've reconciled. Why? Because you got the most important thing and you kept it the most important thing, and it doesn't matter what season of life you are in, you can produce. Stand on your feet. 10 out of 12 months. We're in the horse business. We're selling horses as fast as we can make them, literally. We raise horses. We don't show much because shows happen on Sundays and Saturdays, and we are planted at church, so we don't do that. We miss out on a lot of good money, good deals. So we're on the breeding end of things. We raise these babies. These babies go anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000 like clockwork. And we're literally having these babies hit the ground on Monday, and by Wednesday, they're sold. You say, well, aren't these people scared of this pandemic and they're spending that kind of money on pets? I don't ask questions. I just count stacks. Not my job to ask, well, are you sure you're going to be good on groceries this week? I want to encourage you. And I say this, and I'm not naive. I'm not naive. I just feel like Abraham. I'm not naive. I just feel like Israel in Goshen. That God, I'm in your hand. I hear your voice louder. Why? Because I'm planted. I feel your spirit move like never before because I'm planted. Pastor Mandy and I, we shut the gate on that 22 acres we got. Every night, I say we shut the gate. That's why we had kids. We don't have electric gates yet. We had kids to get out and shut the gates. So when that gate's shut and we drive back to our house, we shut that door. She gets all of her weapons out for the night. No, I'm just kidding. But we're living that life where I walk through the living room, she's sitting there. Mandy, I love our life. I'm talking about in the middle of all of this. She comes into my office. Man, God is good, isn't he? It's our testimony of the goodness of God. That when the world is hurting, we can cry with them, but we can be a hand to lift them up and to say, God's got you. There's a better way. God gave us the vision for Food Bank. God sent women like Reba Perlotti, Dahlia Inman, Sister Debbie Dishman to feed thousands of people in the first 4 months, 2,500 in the past 7 weeks. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're planted. I end with this. Tyler, wherever he's at, he's a remarkable dude. He's probably in the TV. He came home the other night, and I said, hey, you want me to pick you up something? Because your boy and DoorDash have gotten really, really close. And the essential employees at all these fast food, they've been getting a lot of love from me and extra tips. But But I've been talking to, I called Ty. I said, you want me to bring you home something? He said, nah, Dad, I'm eating healthy. I don't eat after 8 o'clock at night, and I'm eating healthy. I said, good for you, son. So that dude, he sliced open a bell pepper. And in that bell pepper, when he flipped that top, all of those seeds. I mean, there was like 150 seeds. And I just studied up on the bell pepper seed and how many peppers are produced from one plant every year when it's planted right. You're talking about a generation or two of bell peppers can produce tens of thousands of peppers. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when you're planted, you produce not only enough to feed you and yours, you start getting enough for you to bless others. See, that's why I have joy unspeakable. So if I ever come across somebody who needs joy, I got more for them. That's why I have the peace that passes all understanding, because I got enough peace. If you need it, I'll give you some. I believe I'm so healthy that if a sick person gets near me, just like in the New Testament, my shadow, because of Jesus Christ, will raise them up. It is my goal. My goal. I've never said this before publicly. It is my goal to be blessed so much that I give God 90% and live off of 10%. That's my life goal. It is my goal to retro pay my salary back to this church so that at the end of my life I can say I gave 90% of everything I had to living away to the kingdom of God, and I never took one penny from the people of God. That is my goal, and I will get that goal because I'm planted. I want to open this altar right now. Social distancing rules still in effect, but we got a big altar every 6 feet if you want to come. If you bring your family, you guys stand together. If you rode together, you can stand together.